I want to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Our text this morning will come from Romans chapter 5. And as you are turning there, we need to remind ourselves a little bit about the theme of this marvelous, marvelous book of Romans. Really, what we are seeing in the book of Romans, particularly in this first part and leading up to our text this morning, is that God's righteousness, or His justification by faith, has been introduced both to Jew and Gentile. In chapter 1 of Romans, the Bible very clearly teaches that Gentiles, non-Jews, are all under the guilt and penalty of sin. Chapter 2 comes along and says that so are the Jews, God's chosen people. They are under the guilt and penalty of sin. And chapter 3 really is kind of an elaboration of chapter 1 and 2, saying that really all men, no matter their background, no matter their genealogy, ancestry, all men are under the penalty and the guilt of sin. In fact, we recall in chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned. And we find, though, that the text begins to, the book that unfolds, the doctrine that unfolds in the book, is that there is a solution. There is a remedy that we can still be justified. We can still find justification before God in spite of sin. And that ultimately is through faith and obedience to the teachings of God. And it is through Christ. I think we'll see that very clearly in our text this morning as well. Because the need of justification has been met by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're at chapter 5, turn back maybe a page in your Bible or so, and look at chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned. But then we see in verse 24, Romans 3:24, that we can be justified, or being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. So, we see that the text tells us that Jesus is the avenue through which sins can be forgiven. The blood of Jesus is the avenue through which our sins can be forgiven, and that we can be justified not by our own merit, not by our own behavior, not by our own intelligence, not by our own effort, but we are justified through the blood of Jesus. And only through the blood of Jesus do we find justification. And really, the first three chapters teach us, elaborate on this, kind of crescendoing there in those verses that we read in chapter 3, verse 24 and 25, in that immediate context, where we learn that we all are under the penalty, the guilt, and the condemnation of sin. And yet, for the person who is reading this, particularly in the first century, from a Jewish background, for even further reinforcement of that idea, that concept, that point, chapter 4 talks about Abraham. And we have to understand that the Jews in the first century were very taken with their ancestry, very taken with the sign of the covenant, very taken with the law. And yet we learn that justification occurs not through the law of Moses, but through the blood of Christ. And in chapter 4, it says that Abraham was considered justified before God prior to the law of Moses, prior to the establishment of the Jewish nation. And we see, by the time you get to this point, basically everything that the Jews had relied upon to be right with God in their mind has been taken away. The law of Moses is taken away. Their ancestry is taken away. All of these things are not the things that will ultimately save them. What ultimately saves them, Gentiles and all men, is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so with all of that kind of the background, we see that chapter 5 brings us to that point, really at the end of chapter 4 and on into chapter 5, that we see that through Jesus, because of Jesus, and only through and because of Jesus, do we find justification before God. We have no right to stand before God as sinners. We have no merit. We have no case to argue. We have no rights to enforce. We have no secret weapon to pull out and say, "I bet you forgot about this." No, we are not justified in any way before God except through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so beginning in chapter 5, verse 1, notice after all that argument and all that logic has been poured on to us in the first four chapters, therefore, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through Jesus, also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who He has given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also, the King James Version says, joy in God. Rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. You see, there are some great blessings in our justification. And you kind of have to have a little bit of that background of chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 that lead up to what we have just read, at least in these first 11 verses, and it continues to be elaborated on, but for sake of time, we're only going to slice it down to this context right here, this paragraph or two in the first part of chapter 5. And it begins with that word, therefore. You see, what is being said here is based on everything that has preceded it in the book. And so now we see that we have justification. We have a right to stand before God, but not because of who I am, not because of my behavior, not because of my worth or my merit, but because of the blood of Jesus and my faith in the blood of Jesus and ultimately my obedience to the teachings of Jesus. In the next chapter, you will read, if you move down in the next chapter, 6, verse 17, that thanks be to God. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, Romans 6, 17. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. So it's all about hearing, believing, and yes, obeying. We must hear, we must believe, but we must also obey in order to be justified before God. In order to have access to the blessings of justification, ultimately the blood of Jesus and what it is capable of doing for each and every one of us. And so now as we have read and kind of set that all in the context, there are about five blessings of justification from this text. There are probably more, I think, that we could dig out of here, but this morning I just want us to look at five blessings
of justification through the blood of Jesus Christ. Number one is in verse 1. Number one, the first blessing of justification is rejoicing in peace. And that idea of joy and rejoicing occurs three or four times in this text. And so we're going to make every one of these blessings something that we rejoice about. And the first one, we rejoice in peace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, before this, when we were in sin, when we were condemned, when there was no justification, when there was no salvation, when there was no reconciliation, when there was no forgiveness and perhaps no hope of forgiveness, no peace. No comfort. No ease of heart, mind, soul, or body. Because we are condemned. And concerning our sins, there's nothing we can do about it. I got myself into a mess that I cannot get myself out of. You know what? That happens to us sometimes, doesn't it? We get ourselves into messes. We get ourselves into situations that we cannot get ourselves out of. We have to call on someone else to help us. And while we are in that mess, we're in that situation, we're confused, we're puzzled, we're perplexed, we're frustrated. No peace of mind. Yet someone comes along who can help us. Changes the whole mindset on a much greater scale. We are in a sin mess that we can't fix or solve ourselves. But God can. The blood of Jesus can. And our faith, belief, and obedience and response to that can. And so when we find ourselves believing and obeying, we find peace. Because you see the text that we have read here, these couple of paragraphs that we have read, says that at one time, verse 10, we were enemies. You see, just that very language, to say that I'm an enemy, implies there's no peace. That there's no tranquility. There's turmoil. There's fighting. There's difficulty. There's a problem. I was an enemy. But now, through the blood of Jesus Christ and my faith, belief, and response and obedience to that, peace. And I can rejoice in that peace because, as Philippians 4 verse 7 tells us, it is a peace that passes understanding. It's not just a peace of tangible or material nature. It's a peace of mind. It's a peace of soul. Because I'm right with God. Not because I did anything to earn it or merit it. I'm right with God. Because God sent His own Son, Jesus, to die for me. And when I believe that, I appropriately respond to that, as chapter 6 says, and from the heart obey that form of doctrine. And chapter 6 also talks about the necessity of baptism into the name of Christ and dying to sin, rising to walk in newness of life. Then I have peace because of everything that God has done for me. And I rejoice in that. Blessing number two, look at the text. In verse 2, blessing number 2 is that we rejoice in grace. Notice the text tells us that we have been justified by faith. Now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, verse 2, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in a stabilizing grace. We rejoice in a grace that we stand in. I cannot stand in my own
merit. I cannot stand in my own behavior. I cannot stand in what I have to offer to God and hope that it's good enough, because it's not. It's tainted with sin. Grace, the word grace, the most common popular definition, I guess, of it is unmerited favor. And that we can know that because Jesus died for us and shed His blood on the cross, that now we can have peace with God when we obey that. And now, by faith, we have access in this grace in which we stand. You see, we stand. We are planted. We are sure. We are certain in this unmerited favor. We are rejoicing in unmerited grace. You see, every one of these is about rejoicing. And that's a word, joy and rejoicing, that occurs at least two or three times in the text. But we're going to make it apply to every one of them, because I think that it does. And this idea, do we rejoice in peace with God? I hope so. Number two, because that's a great blessing. Number two, do we rejoice in this stabilizing grace of God? I hope so. Because it's what God has provided for us. And it's through the blood of Jesus. And it's through not anything that I have done, but what God has done for me. And what God has given me access through. And when I, through faith, not the law, not circumcision, not ancestry through Abraham, chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, because all have sinned and are under the condemnation of the penalty of sin, it is the blood of Jesus Christ. Because none of us have any right to stand before God. But through the blood of Jesus, we do. And that gives us the right of access by faith into this grace. And in that grace, we stand. You see, it's all about what God has provided for us. And we rejoice in that. Number three, a third blessing of justification. First blessing of justification, peace. We rejoice in peace. Second blessing, we rejoice in grace. Third blessing is, we rejoice in hope. Don't you see how we have now a great hope? We were lost. We were condemned. We had no hope. But now, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have hope. And we can rejoice in that hope. In fact, as we keep reading in verse 2, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which you stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see, now we have this great blessing of justification, because now we have hope. And the Bible word hope is desire plus expectation. It is a confident expectation. And now we have this desire plus expectation, this confident expectation of what? The glory of God. You see, prior to this, we feared God. In fact, that's what the text says. We were His enemy. That we, verse 6, were without strength. That we were, verse 8, still sinners. That God had wrath against us, verse 9. But now, we have hope. We have a very confident, certain hope because of our justification through Christ. Verse 5 tells us that this hope does not disappoint. You see, this is a non-disappointing hope. This is a certain, absolute, you can count on it kind of hope. It's the hope that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have, because we have been justified, now we rejoice in that hope. In spite of, look at verse 3 and 4, problems and tribulations and difficulties and adversities and hardships. You see, even though now we have been saved
by the blood of Jesus Christ in our response to the teachings and obeying from the heart that form of doctrine, having our sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, when we're baptized in His name, we're still going to have some problems. We're still going to have, as the text calls it, tribulations. In fact, that word tribulation that's used in the New Testament has with it, I don't know the best way exactly to describe it, except maybe if you would visualize when they're laying new asphalt on a parking lot or on the street, and that great big steam roller that they use that presses down. The word tribulation means a pressing down. And you think about that huge steam roller, you know, this big steel metal cylinder apparatus that's, you know, 5 and 6 feet tall, and they're pressing down, they're driving over that newly laid surface on the parking lot or the road, and they press it down, and they smash it down, and they press it down. Tribulation, this word tribulation is like, it's a pressing down. That we go through things in life, even though we're Christians, that are pressing down on us. But we still have hope in spite of those tribulations. Why? Why? Because look at the text. Not only do we have hope, we rejoice in the glory of God, but we also glory in tribulations. Why? Because tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, there it is. The hope. The hope that we rejoice in. And so even though we may say, I stand justified before God through the blood of Jesus Christ and my obedience to the teachings and commandments of God, then why am I having all these problems? Well, because we are not immune to problems. We're not immune to tribulations. We're not immune to circumstances that are less than pleasant. I mean, look at what happened to Jesus, the very Son of God. Do we deserve any less than Him? But we can use those tribulations to build perseverance, character, and hope. Then, as the text says, that's the hope we rejoice in. We rejoice in that. And it's a blessing we have because of justification. Number one, peace. Number two, grace. Number three, hope. Number four, salvation. We rejoice in salvation, if you will. Look at verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. You see, the only thing in the future for the sinner is condemnation. The only thing for the sinner in the future is the wrath of God. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us that God will return from heaven with flaming fire, and vengeance will be executed on those who obey not the gospel, those who are still in their sins. And so for the sinner, for the unrepentant person, the future holds nothing but the wrath of God. Hebrews 10 tells us it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 11 says our God is a consuming fire. The wrath of God awaits the sinner, but not the person who's been justified through the blood of Jesus. You see, when we back this up and we realize that yes, we are sinners, but the blood of Jesus was shed, and my faith has brought me to the point of obeying the commands of God, that form of doctrine. And I have been baptized in the name of Jesus to have the blood of Jesus wash my sins away. Then what? I am, look at verse 9, saved from wrath. I am saved from wrath because I've been justified by His blood. So now we rejoice, I think, in that kind of salvation. A salvation that is a wrath saving salvation that saves us from the wrath of God, that saves us from the wrath that would await any sinner. Because now we have been justified by the blood of Jesus and our faith and obedience to it. And then number five, fifth and finally this morning, we rejoice in God. Number one, we rejoice in the peace. Number two, we rejoice in the grace. Number three, we rejoice in the hope. Number four, we rejoice in the salvation. But number five, we rejoice in God. If you look at verse 11, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said, the King James Version says, we joy in God. I don't know if that's, you know, contemporary 2018 best grammar in the world, but I like the way that it's phrased in the King James. We joy in God. You see, it's about rejoicing. Because of what? The peace, the grace, the hope, the salvation. And it's all made possible by God through Jesus Christ. And so when we get to this point, we realize that we are rejoicing in God. We're rejoicing in God because, obviously, two R's here. Relationship and reconciliation. We're talking about a new relationship. We rejoice in God through Jesus Christ. You see, that's the relationship. And now we have a new relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that relationship is not one to fear. That relationship is not one of wrath. That relationship is not one where we're still the enemy of God. That relationship is one where God loves us. He demonstrated that, verse 8, by sending His own Son. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And now we have a new relationship. Because God now sees us, not directly, but He sees us through the filter of the blood of Jesus. See, there I am. God is here, and there I am, and I'm a sinner. And when God sees me just like that, just as a sinner, He sees me as a sinner. But between me and God, there is a filter. Between me and God, the blood of Jesus flows. And now God sees me through the blood of Jesus. And that puts me in a state of what the Bible is calling here, justification. He sees me as one washed in the blood. He sees me as one obedient to the teachings of Jesus. He sees me as one of faith. He sees me as one of repentance. He sees me as one of response. He sees me as one of faithfulness. He sees me, as the song, the phrase we sometimes use, among the blood-washed throng. See, that's us. And now we are justified in God because we have a new relationship with Him. And the second R is, now we've received the reconciliation. We have now been reconciled. Everything has been, the books have been balanced. And now everything has been reconciled. Everything that was awry, everything that was amiss, everything that was broken has now been fixed, not by me, but by Jesus and His blood and my response to what God has done for me through Jesus. And it's all the grace, the peace, the hope, the salvation that we rejoice in. Now we have a new relationship because that which was broken has now been fixed. I couldn't fix it. You can't fix it. But Jesus can. In fact, Jesus has when He died on the cross. And that blood that He shed is still just as powerful, still just as effective, still just as significant as it was 2,000 years ago when it was shed on the cross.
And it can still wash your sins away. And it can still justify you before God and reconcile you to Him through Jesus Christ. Notice the superlative language that is used here. Verse 3, and not only that. Verse 11, and not only that. Verse 9, much more than. Verse 10, much more. Notice how the Spirit of God is trying to communicate to us, I'm giving you all I've got. Not only that, and not only that, but much more now, and much more now. More than we can ever, ever accomplish on our own. More than we can ever, ever hope to achieve by ourselves. Not only that, much more now. That's what God intends for each and every one of us. Those are just a few of the blessings of justification. This morning, if you need to be justified before God, you can do it through Jesus Christ and His blood. Obey the gospel. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in His name and added to His church. If you have strayed and wandered away from God, or there are sins in your life that have caused you to no longer be in a state of rejoicing, it doesn't have to stay that way. You can rejoice again. You can have the peace. You can have the grace. You can have the hope. You can have the salvation through the blood of Jesus. Would you respond if you need to this morning as we stand and we sing?